true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I am now schmacording, because I'm the schmost with the schmostest.
Oh boy. You sure schmar.
We're going to do the entire schmodcast saying schma, and no one will like us ever again.
I really like your background today. It's so relaxing. It makes me want to go to Scotland.
You're right. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, for the listener, it's like a crystal clear lake with the green mountains in the background and a castle in the foreground. It's lovely.
I was in a meeting. It was like a retreat. So it was like a 4-hour meeting, you know, a long processy blah-de-blah meeting.
Yeah.
And one of the things they said was like, you know, since we can't do this in person, let's do what we can. Like, you know, get yourself a nice blanket and have food. And like maybe put up a background that where you'd want to be on retreat.
Huh.
So this is the retreat. And I was like, Scotland. And then I just started pining for the hills and highlands.
We need to get you a little vacation.
All right, head back to Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland.
I mean, I am directing the 39 Steps in a couple of months, which takes place mostly in Scotland. So
no, but we need an actual vacay.
Yes.
Actually traveling.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm going to Philly this weekend with
Noice,
your person that you run your household with.
Hey, I love how you just call them a different thing every time you describe them. You can just say Rami, but that's cool. I thought Rami was in Philly already.
Uh-oh. Hold on. I'm sorry. Oh, no. What is happening?
Are you supposed to be teaching a class right now?
Or something. Hold on.
Did you forget?
I'm going to cause a... Hello. Well, yep. I got to handle this. 2 seconds. I'm sorry, Cass.
No worries. We're going to leave this in and we're just going to let the audio run.
Oh, boy. How about the crotch eating story?
Good one.
She blows my mind, the things this dog... I mean, it's like she's looking for comedic things to eat. The tampons was like, really? And then the crotch of the underwear, although, I mean, it's not that surprising because these are smells.
Do you want to pause and give context? If we're going to talk about this, we should talk about it in context here.
So my dog tends to eat things she shouldn't eat, and then I have to go to the ER, and it's usually during a class I need to teach or a podcast I'm taping. So yesterday we had to reschedule because of crotch of underwear eating. That was delightful. She was fine, but it's fucked up because they have to induce vomiting.
Ugh.
I know, and I hate that. And then they have to put another drug in her to de-induce vomiting. Yeah.
It's a lot.
She's
got this little tiny body. So like anything you do is like, everything's happening to my entire body.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyway.
So your dog ate the crotch out of your underwear.
Correct.
Multiple pair?
One pair.
One pair that was sitting like used, sitting on the ground that you had just dropped out of. I mean, it's
probably sitting on the bed or the little foot thing at the end of the bed. And she was like, oh,
but that's recently worn. So they had essence. They had oud Katie on them. I'm so sorry, everybody.
It's really something. It's really something.
But
else.
Otherwise she wouldn't eat like freshly laundered panty crotches.
No. I don't think so.
There's nothing there. What's the point?
Lavender is appealing to dogs, but vagina sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just crotch in general, probably. Yeah.
Crotch. Yeah, that's true. Not just the vag, the crotchalness.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she's oriented in a particular direction.
Could be. That could be. I wonder. Yeah. So that happened. Going to Philly this weekend, went to Western PA, planning to go to Colorado in June, have a Florida trip in April. Mama needs to travel.
My goodness. Jeepers. I flew to LA for a day. That's it. That's the most I've done.
That's not nothing.
I need to do some stuff. It's time.
It's mostly just I get so crazy if I don't get to travel. I have Sag rising, Cass.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I know.
I'm sure that's a thing that matters.
So yeah, building in those travel dates feels really important. And like, since I can't get to Florida, or I so far at this moment don't think I'm going to be able to go to Florida until the end of April for all the reasons, I've decided, because I like need the sun and the beach really badly right now. I've decided like, okay, if I travel every weekend to anywhere, I'll at least feel like I'll distract my nervous system from its need for the sun and just get it more northeasterly vibes. But like, at least it's moving around and not just sitting here going like, here we are again, not in the sun. Know what I mean?
I can appreciate that. No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm ready to do some traveling. It's true. I mean, going up to Shasta for my mom's 80th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. Molly Brown, guest of the podcast, Molly Brown. We're having a big old family. My aunt is coming from like somewhere else, and people are coming in from all over. It's going to be exciting.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We don't have Desmond today because he's still, what is it, like parental reasons? He has
I think his wife is traveling, and so he's a little more focused on parenting even more than he usually is, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And just,
he has like 75 kids, right?
Just two, but some, and one's away. So it's interesting. Like one's
doesn't he have three kids?
No, just the two. He's got a teenager in boarding school and a wee one. I don't know.
He always calls his teenager the teenager.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah. I like it. I got the teenager and not the toddler anymore, but the youngin, whatever.
The child.
The child.
Yeah.
The younger one.
I have something fun to report, but good. It's all kinds of esoteric. So before we go there, do you have anything fun to report?
I have a topic of discussion that I'm interested in exploring today.
I'm ready. Oh, and I have one too that's not esoteric. Go.
Great. Well, mine is about the sort of relationship between physical ailments, like injurious physical ailments, and like the spiritual story, because you dealt recently with your ankle, right?
Yeah.
That's just like you roll your ankle, you tear a muscle. Like, and in my 3D reality, I have two stories going on. I have one that is just, you rolled your ankle and you tore it. That's it. You have a broken piece of your body, right?
Okay.
Like when I have maybe, you know, indigestion or something a little more abstract, or even like stiff shoulders, because, oh, my muscles, that I can relate to the spiritual/mental, emotional, psychological reality, right? Totally. Those feel integrated. They feel directly related. But yeah, like just straight injury, it's harder for me to draw that line, though I'm very interested in exploring that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship of the sort of very 3D, I don't even know what to call it. So I have this shoulder. The reason I bring it up is sometime over the last year, it might have been probably when I went to play tennis, the one time I went to play tennis, because I couldn't play racquetball because you didn't want to be indoors in a tiny little space.
Okay.
Or you couldn't be because they weren't open. So my racquetball buddy and I went and played tennis one time. I don't remember injuring it at the time, but since then it's gradually, I've been like, oh, I have something real wrong with my shoulder. And finally I've gotten medical help and am in PT for it. Huh. And it's like a torn rotator, like,
okay,
as they call it. So like, we talked a little bit about this. You made a prediction. You're like, I wonder if it's this or this.
Okay.
And you said, actually, you said bursitis, and it's pretty much just a straight torn rotator.
Wasn't that just me guessing as a
human? Yeah, you were just throwing darts at a board.
I was just bursitis?
You didn't do a reading or anything to get bursitis. Cool. Yeah. No. The record keepers weren't wrong. Katie's ass was wrong.
It regularly is incorrect.
Yeah. Anyway, the good news is to report is like after two sessions of PT, especially this last one, like it is changing. It still hurts like a motherfucker at times, but the nature of it has changed and it feels like it's healing. And I'm definitely on the road to recovery and I'm doing the thing.
How did it happen?
That's what I was saying, is it might have happened the one time I went to play tennis, because I hadn't played tennis in 10 years. And, you know, you throw your arm up over your shoulder and serve. And,
oh, right.
I don't know. Fuck it. I'm old and I wasn't prepared, you know?
Yeah.
I went from 0 to 60 and that was dumb. That is my theory. But at the time, I didn't go, ow.
Right.
I just gradually was like, my shoulder's not good. over time. And then over the last few months, it's gotten worse. And I've just been like, this is unacceptable. And I realized like, I was auditioning for shows and then I wasn't. And you and I were both talking about that idea of rejection as protection.
Yes.
And I'm also thinking like, oh, I couldn't have done a play. There's no way.
Really?
Maybe I could have done like a talky play where it was just a couple of people, you know, being intellectual and talking.
Right, right.
But anything that required my body in a real committed way, I definitely couldn't have done like a 39 steps type of show because I couldn't have done a quick change, you know,
right.
I'd throw up my arm to put through it and I'd be like, yeah,
I didn't know it was this bad.
I was kind of not being very loud about it, but it was pretty bad and it's still pretty bad, but it's getting better.
Huh. Okay.
So all that is to say, I still am curious about the sort of spiritual story around, like, what is the, I don't really have much more framing than that, but like, what is the spiritual story around this very specific three-dimensional injury?
And when you say spiritual story, can you tell me more about what you mean?
Is there an intention or a lesson to be drawn from it in terms of my, my internal journey or my external journey in the world? Is it about, you know, it's not time for, you know, hold you back from doing theater or anything? I don't know. Is there a story, or is it just, no, you just fucked up your shoulder?
Well, I'm a pretty big believer in everything is something.
Right. That's why I bring it to you.
Well, let's open the records of consciousness and ask.
Yeah.
I'd like
is that
to do
your
that.
New thing now?
Now that,
basically.
Yes. Like that is the top. That's the thing I wanted to get into is that.
Great.
There's so many things to say about it, but I am in love with it. First of all, in love. It has reinvigorated me and given me willingness to keep doing the work I do. I was feeling really dragon ass for a while there. And now I'm like, holy fuck, I love this. Like,
that's awesome.
And I was pulling a bunch of cards on it and trying to understand this shift and what the deal is. And it was like, I was getting a lot of cards about initiation into next levels of things and being like, well, that fucking makes sense. Everything I've been going through being some kind of activation into now I need to talk from the realm of consciousness all the time. That's pretty fucking interesting. And it explains a lot of why I've been trying to like, every time my business, I look at expanding it or building new structures inside of it or whatever. It's like always there's this like, not quite, not quite, not quite. And then I realized like if this had to take shape first, anything I would have built to expand the thing would have not been built on this as a foundation. So then I would have had to change it.
So they're like, you can't go forward until you
are what you are.
Rewritten the base or
yeah, gotten to the next level of what we need you to get to be doing what you're doing.
Right.
Which is just really fucking interesting. So it begs all these other questions. Like, so I was actually talking with Rami about this yesterday, about the thing of, you know, how I'm always asking questions like, is it in my highest good to do blah, blah, blah. And what gets created if I do blah, blah, blah. And is it in my highest interest to does it contribute to the world if I do blah, blah, blah. And I've tended to live my life from that kind of questioning for a lot of years. Excuse me. And the reason I got good at having a spiritual connection, being able to ask questions like that of the divine, was because I so couldn't trust myself because my connection to myself was so injured through all my trauma.
Right.
And it was like, and it's like for years now, I've been looking around going like, well, normal people just walk around and they just have and they just like trust themselves. They're like, I want hamburger. I have hamburger. Like, why does it have to be so complicated for me? And so I was motivated by that challenge to get it to heal my own gut so that I could just hear my gut and trust it. Just like try to be normal, just be a person whose body works. And then what I realized, this is so complicated. I'm going to try to keep it simple, but that big shift that happened when I was in Colorado, where I was like, uh-oh, I'm done healing stuff of a certain nature. I've been integrating since then that completion point. And I've realized that, and then I came here and this part of the world really activates in me, my emotional processing. So all this emotional processing has been happening through therapy and my foot injury and all the stuff, crying and learning how to be with my feelings better and all that, that I'm finding that my gut is really turned on and really loud now. My gut is going, not this, that, not this. Like it's easier to hear it now because some shit, because something healed that makes it possible for me to be a more functioning normal person who doesn't have to sit in the Akashic Records to know if I want Cheetos or not. And so
that seems like a lot.
It's a lot. It's like stupid. It's too much. So that's been a relief, but it's combined with this real not wanting to go into the records, this real resistance to like, I don't feel like talking to God right now. I just want to be a person in my body because I finally got my body back. I finally can just feel feelings and do things like people do. I feel so excited to feel at home in my own body that I don't want to travel to the fucking infinite oneness of whatever. And just, I want to just be a person and go to Target, you know?
Right.
And so like, I've been doing a lot of that and just being like, okay, I'm with myself. I hear myself clearly. I'm not confused. I'm going to listen to this very pedestrian form of awareness, but it didn't resolve the question of like, why do I hate going to the records and how am I going to keep my business working? Like, do I have to fully throw this business out the window? Am I done with this work? And I kept getting a no. And I was like, okay, well, fucking help me out. Then when I opened the Records of Consciousness here
on the podcast for the first time
on a whim in the podcast, which I've then been,
thank you for saying whim, by the way, with
you're,
me,
you're welcome, which I then now do on the Katie Church every Wednesday night, 5:30 PM at Katie Rubin's Biz Stuff for free on Facebook Live, and have been doing in every client session since then. All of a sudden I want to be in the records again, but it's like, because from the Records of Consciousness, I can do healings for clients. I can read the group. I can still do everything I already was doing, but I'm not going into the records of the person. I'm going into the Records of Consciousness, which is directly connected to my gut in my 3D body. So it's sort of like my gut and consciousness are good friends, but my gut and like your spirit are not. In other words, it feels good to my gut to be able, like my gut has something to say and is integrated when I'm working with the realms of consciousness through the, I almost just can't explain it except to say it works for me. And last night I brought it to my Star Beings class and I opened the Akashic Records of Consciousness and thought, okay, I guess I'm just going to do a teaching from here because I know how to do that. And then 10 minutes into talking, they were like, cool, now you're doing a healing for this group. And I was like, do I have to open the records of the group? And they said, no. So I just started to do what I normally do. And it was all there. It was all available. And we had oh my God, last night was the kind of healing class where I left the class going, I love my job. I'm so lucky to get to do this. That was amazing. So it's kind of like I had to upgrade into, or like shift gears into like, now I work straight with consciousness through the Akashic Records, which is spirit. I work through spirit to consciousness with other people. And that feels good to my gut. And that's just the thing I had to work out, which is very, very weird.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like part of the thing is it's almost like, yeah, you said, I'm friends with consciousness. I'm not necessarily friends with your spirit individually. And so like consciousness becomes actually the bigger, it contains everybody's spirit.
Yes.
So you don't need to go into the individuals because you just go to the,
no, yes,
you go to the larger one, and larger one's a better filter for you, or a better,
yes,
screen for you to be looking at.
Yes, because it activates and lightens me. Like part of what I've loved about doing Akashic Records work and being an energy healer is I was always getting the energy myself. Like I get the light of God when you need a healing from God. And now for a long time now, I've been like not excited about it and not getting much from it personally, and just being like, well, I guess I just serve people now. But like, that doesn't fucking work, because I got to be happy about it. And it wasn't until I shifted into doing this where now I get to feel the expansive field of the all that is through consciousness as I read for you or heal for you or do whatever for you. And it just feels better in my body. And I think it's because my system got upgraded to a new OS. We're on Katie 12. So it needs a different, what's the computer metaphor that it needs? It needs a different software.
I don't even know. I'm lost.
I can't do it.
I got lost in the metaphor somewhere. You have a different OS. So there's a different motherboard with a different
main
PCDI.
HDMI,
HDMI, USB-C.
Port. Data science. Engineering.
We're smart.
MIT.
Computer.
Tron. Can I just say, shout out to Sophia Fredericks, because Sophia Fredericks, friend of the podcast, messaged me and said that she loves when we do improv. And she thought she wasn't going to like it. She's like, oh, fuck, they're doing improv. And then she listened and she really liked it.
That's good.
I'm like, that is a fair process to go through. I mean, what was I? Okay, there's a great, great line from an episode of The New Girl where I think it's Jess who says, that's the most embarrassed I've ever felt for someone not watching improv.
Oh, I mean, improv is the perfect reality of like the most mockable thing that is done, and rightfully so. Like, I don't feel like it doesn't deserve all the mockery it gets, but also is one of the most amazing things when it is awesome.
Right. When so, it's like, awesome, it's the most amazing thing. When it's bad, it's the least good thing there is.
And I'm going to ask you, Katie.
Like, why is that?
Have you watched Murderville yet?
I watched an episode. Should I stay with it?
You should.
Okay.
Just because.
It's so fun.
My feeling about that show is literally like, I'm just mad that it's not you and me doing that show.
I 1,000,000% feel the same fucking way.
And how like.
You know what else?
That was actually kind of the idea I was trying to head for when we were working on our sitcom a little bit. I think I didn't know it, but like, I'm like, oh. Right. That's the juice right there.
You know what I'm mad that we're not doing that happened is Thomas Middleditch and Schwartz.
Schwartz just doing their show.
Just doing an improv show on Netflix. Two people.
Yeah.
Well, long form. Like that is the business. Speaking of Thomas Middleditch.
First you got to get big and famous and then you got to get do that.
Right? Well, the podcast will blow up and then we will. But when speaking of Thomas Middleditch, has anybody seen the movie? It's called Search Party.
I haven't, but I keep seeing that it is a thing that I should see.
Not that good.
Okay, never mind.
It's got great people in it, but it's not. I don't want to shit on anybody's movie. But Thomas Middleditch is buck naked the entire film, except for certain moments where he has ladies' tights on.
How's his penis?
Nice. Delightful.
Nice.
Ambient. Glowing.
Wow.
Something I want to interact with. Pleasant. Big.
Well, Thomas, if you are a listener of the podcast.
And not too, married.
Right. And yeah. And like able to interact in a way that is open and honest and free with Katie around this reality. Then give us a call.
Let's just hope Thomas Middleditch feels about the crotch of my underwear the way Squeezle does. Because given how I feel about his penis, we're halfway there, Thomas.
Well, we just need a friend in common because, I mean, that's how it worked for me. You know, listener of the podcast was...
Right.
But then the friend in common made the final little moment of connection.
Am I saying his name correctly? Is it Thomas Middleditch?
I think so.
I just feel all of a sudden had that sinking feeling of like, maybe his name is James.
No, I think it's Thomas Middleditch and something Schwartz.
Yeah. Middleditch and Schwartz. Jason Schwartz. No. We should use that as a tongue twister in healing in exercise.
Middleditch and Schwartz.
Yeah.
Middleditch improv, and Schwartz.
Middleditch and Schwartz.
Yeah, it's I'll admit that it's growing on me a little bit.
What?
The play. Penis? It's growing as we speak and it's on me. Are you jealous?
Yes.
It's just resting like on my forearm.
So why is it getting hard? Because
my aura.
You're so appealing. Okay.
Okay. Thomas.
What's growing?
I gotta
on
do
you?
A podcast right now. Oh,
back off, buddy.
Back off, buddy. Remove your penis from my forearm. It's
go
about
to
the
Katie's
same length,
house.
Too. It's impressive.
Wow.
Yeah. And girth.
But fully naked throughout the film.
That's
peen,
awesome.
Peen, all over peen. So much peen. Bobbing around. He's running from bad guys. Peen, flopping.
It's good comedy.
I know. I'm just like so amazed they did that.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Running with peen is good comedy.
It's such good comedy. Peens are so goofy when you run. Side note, this makes me think of my most embarrassing moment of my entire life, which I would like to now share with the listening audience.
I think we
audience.
Should hear it.
And then I would like to hear yours.
Okay.
If you're willing to share.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can think of one, but go ahead.
I know. The only reason I have this on top of mind is because I'm part of a question of the day group that Kat Zidane operates, where she texts a question from like a box of questions, and it, every day, no matter where she is in the world, she's so good about being consistent with it too. And so there's like six of us on there and we answer it. And today it asked that question. What was your most embarrassing moment? My first reaction was, I don't fucking know. I'm not in middle school. I don't care if somebody saw my tampon on the carpet. Like,
right.
Then I was like, all right, Katie, take the game seriously. Let's think about this. And I remembered something worthy of horror. I might have been having sexual intercourse with a person at a certain point. That did happen once.
Oh, those were the days.
And okay, I was in my bedroom and there was a hallway. There were two hallways. The bedroom had a hallway that went straight to the front door, and then it split off in the middle and a different hallway went to the living room. Okay. So I'm in the bedroom making the sex noises, as was my partner at the time, loudly. And let's just say, I'm trying not to be too gross, but like I was on my side. Okay. All of a sudden, the two of us at the same moment here in the living room, which if you're in the living room of that apartment, you would have had to come in the front door, down a hallway, go left down another hallway and go into the living room. Okay. All of a sudden we hear human beings talking to each other. Oh, I was a husband. No, I was a husband. And we can't hear what they're saying, but there's a conversation being had, which in my mind, immediately, I'm like in flagrante delicto. And and I'm like, we're being robbed,
right,
while we're boning. I'm buck naked. I stand up instinctually and go nakedly to the door frame of my bedroom door and peek around the corner to see into the hallway, to see who's in the hallway. Or maybe hopefully I don't know what I thought it was going to happen. I go further into the hallway because I can't see anything. It's a little dark. And standing there in that secondary hallway toward the living room is my dog walker, who I had hired to, she had a key to come to the house to walk Squeezel, but I had forgotten to tell her that I had changed my plans and that I'd be home having the sexual encounter. So she had come to get the dog. And so, but all of this happened in a millisecond. It was like boning, 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 terror, stand up naked, go to the hallway. There's a lady there. I'm explaining nakedly. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I forgot to call you. I'm still home. You can go. And she's like, oh, and she had to like scoot around. She had to scoot around me to fit through the hallway to get out. And we're both like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I should have called. You could go. And she's like, should I walk the dog? And I'm like, no, you're okay. You should go. And she's like, and then I felt horrible because she had driven her 15 minutes or whatever to get to my house to walk my dog. She leaves. I go back to the bedroom. Sex partner is a male person, male identifying human, is in the closet, standing in the closet, naked, hiding from the potential intruders. Why was my instinct to nakedly go toward the intruders, whereas his instinct was to save his life and hide in my closet? Then we like awkwardly laid on the bed, like we laughed a little while. And then we were just like, so, well,
want to have more
have
of
a
sex?
Good night, I guess. Like, so awkward in eight directions.
Ooh. Yeah.
You seem unimpressed.
No, I'm thinking about the I'm imagining the scoot around accidental, nipple brush against shoulder as one scoots past. Oops. I mean, yeah. That's,
it was very, very horrifying.
Did you speak to that person again?
Oh yeah. Like,
did you acknowledge it?
Oh yes.
In conversation?
Yes. I probably waited 20 minutes and then texted her. I was talking to sex partner and I was like, I have to message her. And he was like, yeah, you should. So I messaged her and I was like, I am so sorry. I fully forgot we had booked tonight. I really apologize for the nakedness. I hope you'll still walk the dog. I promise this won't happen again. Blah, 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 blah. And she was very, how do I say, if I'm an eight, I would guess she's a nine on the Enneagram. She was not confrontation friendly. So she kind of like backed away from the whole thing and was like, sorry, I came in. I thought we had I misunderstood the scheduling and have a great night. And I was like, I'm sorry about being naked and you saw me naked. I'm so sorry I was naked. She was like, I'll see you Tuesday. And I was like, I'm
not
confused.
Going to acknowledge this.
Yeah, I won't engage with
Please
the horror show.
Please stop saying the word naked.
Yeah, I never saw your nibbles or your bush. I never saw it. What's weird too for me about my weird body dysmorphic, like any sexual shame stuff I have, is that no problem with the sex act and doing all the things. But if I just stand up naked in the room, I don't want you seeing that. Like, suddenly I'm embarrassed to come back in the room and be like, just standing there naked.
Right. But if you can lie on the bed, leg up, spread, weird, awkward angles. You're fine with that.
I'll do all that shit. Don't even think twice. But suddenly if I'm just a person naked, it's like, whoa, you can't look at that. That's a horror show you're looking
at. Yeah, I understand that one. Yeah. When I just stand, like, I'm like, what is this? What is this? What's going on here? And I mean, I'm biased against my own form, of course, as we all are, because I'm like, look at this thing that just sort of flaps in front. What is that? How is that?
What is that?
How is that a thing anybody would want to look at?
I mean, a million percent.
I mean, unless it's Thomas Middleditch's, which is gorgeous. So
God damn, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
So pretty.
But I mean, my most embarrassing is probably, well, I mean, I'll just do the one that comes to mind. I don't know if it's my most embarrassing, right? I put quotes in the air. But I think home alone as a young teen.
I'd like to make a request of the listening audience that they rank whose story is more embarrassing at the end. Can you write us? Where can they write us? At the email?
Allanswerspod@gmail.com.
Allanswerspod@gmail.com. Okay.
Yeah. You can also send all sorts of things to that email, but you know, no dick
like,
pics.
You know,
unless
gifts.
It's Thomas Middleditch's, and then you can send that picture.
Like blocks of gold.
Yeah.
Other
blockchain. I don't know how that works, but that's a
thing.
You
could send us some blockchain.
Some Ethereum.
Some ETH, as they call it. Okay, ETH. Go ahead.
Is that what the kids are calling
it?
Yes. I'm home. I think I'm home sick, you know, like sick from school and alone though, because I'm a young teenager. I'm thinking I'm 12 or 13 in this story. I'm not totally sure. Maybe more like 12, because I think I'm early in the self-exploration phases.
Understood.
of my reality.
You see where this is going.
Yeah.
I'm
wearing sweats, you know, I'm just home in my living room, like probably watching TV, but like the year would be that, you know, you don't have cable. So you watch whatever's on.
Okay.
At this point, not much cable in the '80s.
Right.
Anyway, no one's home. We have this big house, and at the back of the house is like a, what we call the room, which is also sometimes doubles as like an office / place where my parents see clients and stuff, because they're both therapists.
Oh, right.
And, but again, they're not there. So I'm hanging out with myself.
I've decided to touch it
pretty good. I'm, you know, fully just right-hand grip doing the thing.
Getting down.
And then there's a person in the doorway who is not even my family. This is like a coworker of my mom's, like an associate of my mother.
What?
Who I kind of know. And like, as they kind of come into the doorway, I do the like hunch over, hand still on penis, but
no,
in, like kind of in a way that I think maybe doesn't seem like that's what's happening, you know, kind of leaned over and like,
nope.
And I can't really adjust at that point, because I can't like, if I change my position, it's going to reveal what's going on. Right. So I'm just kind of like, hand, maybe there's a blanket involved, so I'm sort of, but I'm like hunched over, like, hey,
hi. So much.
And
no,
she's like, hi, is your mom, we're supposed to meet, I thought I was supposed to be, because she had gone in through the back, which is where you go into the office, and then come through the house. She was, you know, close enough with the family that wasn't totally inappropriate, but I was home sick and she didn't know there was someone there. It was just like, but we carry on like a five-line conversation.
No.
Because we have to pretend that we're just having that conversation.
Do you think she was pretending or do you think she didn't know?
I don't know to this day.
Wow.
35.
That makes it worse. Don't
35
you think?
Years later or whatever.
That makes it worse that you don't know.
No, I don't know to this day. And I'm trying to remember who that person is. And I think it might be a person who then later emerged as a person out here as a like friend of a, if it's this person I'm thinking, like another friend of mine has his wife's mom is really good friends with this person. So I was able to like be like, oh, it's that person from my mom's past is also friends with my friend's mom. It was weird. So I saw this person again as a fully grown adult. And I was like, I feel like that's that same person who walked in on me when I was
like
12.
You may have seen my pain at 12.
Yeah. Or seen just that flash of that moment when you walk into the doorway and you're like, hey, hunch, is your mom? Nope.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm homesick. Okay, I don't think they're here. Cool. Well, yeah, you can go. Maybe you can wait for her back there.
How is there more conversation?
Exactly.
No.
And then I'm back out of the room and get on with her life. Oh, God.
Okay, I have to tell you another one. I was living in Florida after I went to college and lived in New York a couple of years and came back to Florida, got a roommate who had a wife, man and woman, married. I'm living in their guest room. He and I are becoming buddies. We're going to like Dunkin' Donuts for coffee every morning because we were driving together to work. He would drive me and drop me off and whatever. So he and I are buddies. One day, usually what would happen is either he and I would go get coffee and then we'd both go to work and I'd come back to the house and she'd be gone already, or I would miss him. He'd leave before I was up and I'd just be alone in the house. So one morning I wake up and it's silent in the house. So I'm like, oh, they've both have left. I'm here alone in the house. I go to pee. There's no toilet paper. I hunt around the bathroom. There's no toilet paper anyway. I start hunting around various places and I'm like, oh, I bet you there's toilet paper in his closet, in his bedroom. No. Yeah, you see where I'm going. I open the bedroom door. Now, here's what's horrifying. It's all horrifying, but it was extra horrifying because of this. He's laying on his back on the bed. This poor person, if he ever hears this, we won't say names, so it doesn't matter. He's laying on his back and I can only describe what he's doing to himself as like, I'm going to show you the gesture.
I'll try and describe it. Okay, so there's a fondling, like a sea anemone of the hand.
Each finger.
Is that his balls?
This is his hand on his peen doing this.
So he's playing scales on a flute.
Oh.
On his skin flute.
Think of it this way. How do we describe this? Like you go, pinky goes down.
Yeah, you're like, you're rolling your fingers. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, like pinky goes down, then ring goes down, then middle finger goes down, then first finger goes down, and then you start again.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
He's on his back and he's doing that in the air at the area where his penis should be, but his penis is not in his hand. And so I feel like what he was doing was like trying to get something going, but it hadn't gotten going yet.
What an interesting, he was playing the air flute.
Yeah.
He was just working on his thing, on his like.
He is a guitar player.
Eddie Van Halen. He was just doing Eddie Van Halen hand exercises and he was just lying on his back while he did
near
it, but he was
peen.
Naked. Was he naked?
Fully naked near his peen, the hand.
But his peen was just like flopped on his belly at the point.
Okay, now here's the weird
part. Out of sight.
I was out of sight. I didn't see the peen. I saw the hand working what would be a peen, but no peen.
Okay, feet pointed towards you?
Nope.
Side?
Parallel to me.
Okay, so he's on the bed and so he's, right.
Or I should say perpendicular.
He's perpendicular in a sense to you.
Yeah. So I'm seeing his profile laying down, skin fluting, but no skin flute.
I love that image of the fake skin flute thing.
The whole thing was very weird. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I slammed the door shut. And he's like, mad.
Yeah.
His first reaction was, what the fuck are you doing in here? And I was like, so I like got my shit real quick and just left the house. I just like
didn't even discuss it.
No, never talked about it ever once. And then that story gets even weirder of how that relationship ended. But skin flute story, never discussed it ever.
Did you interact with his skin flute at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I saw where that was going.
Legally, it wasn't. It was legal.
It was ethical and yeah. Upfront,
sort of,
great.
Kind of a little bit.
Relatively speaking.
It would be now.
We've made mistakes in our.
We have. If I were to interact with his skin flute ever again, it would be very, very appropriately handled.
Literally. And it would be actual, not theoretical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, these stories are awful.
Well, I just want to point out
that
when we talk about our most embarrassing stories, they're always about sex or nakedness. And that's just an interesting thing about the shame that exists around
America,
sex and nakedness in our reality.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's...
Let me think
well,
if I have...
that's also true. Like, I could probably tell us a more embarrassing story about...
Poop.
Shitting myself.
Poop.
Or...
Yeah.
Or...
Poop.
I'm not even telling the, like, what I would... Not embarrassing, but what I would say more like shame, which would be like doing a bad thing to somebody, either by accident or by... which is a whole different level of... That's embarrassment. That is shame. And shame, like shame as in...
Okay.
I'm a bad person for this, or I feel bad about myself.
I have one. We could tell those stories. We could tell one of those each. Do we want to go there, though? Sad.
Not really.
Nah.
No.
All right. So we did naked shame. Maybe another time we'll do actual shame.
Okay.
This is just American body dysmorphic based, judgment based, lower self shame that we shouldn't have and wish we didn't had,
right.
but have.
But yeah, I mean, clearly like that one from when I was 12 has stuck with me. I can still see it like it was yesterday. Although I see it actually, I see me in the picture as opposed to through my eyes.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing, when I see the image, I don't see myself looking at her. I'm a little bit above and over.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that guy with his dick in his hand and that person standing in the doorway.
Well, that's like you dissociated, left your body and watched the thing happen.
Absolutely.
That's what happened. Bye.
I left my body.
I'm out.
Yeah. I'm out.
All right. Well, I would like to open the records of consciousness and talk about physical stuff because I have things I could say about physical stuff and healing. But OK, I'll say a few things just from my perspective and then we'll see what
Conch has to say. Can I call it Conch?
Sure. Sounds a little dirty.
What's up, Conch?
Conch.
Well, it's also like a shell that you blow. Yeah.
That's what she said. Do you know, before we go there, if in therapy yesterday I was talking about the kind of improv I want to be doing, how I want to be doing some improv, but I don't want to get into New York City and the scene and the competing and that whole shit.
Get on a house team and that shit.
I don't want to get into it. I just want down to earth two geniuses to do a trio with me. And then I was like, I'm describing what I had before I left California.
You left us.
So I'm like, how do I convince Cassidy and Sam to move here?
That's a big ask. Sam's got a family.
Never, ever happen. It's much more likely that I just go fine, I'll go back to California. But then a lower ask is how do I get, and listeners, maybe you can help me with this. How do I get Cassidy, Jamal, Jackson, Malcolm, Jamal, Warner Brown, and Sam Shaw, curmudgeon extraordinaire, to just come out here for a week and do some improv with me for a week and we put one show up? That does not seem very hard to me. But no, Sam,
we just do some rehearse. We do a retreat that ends in a show.
Correct. But Sam, I think Sam is the problem. How do we get Sam to get off his duff and leave his, my child who needs my parenting?
Fucking so selfish.
The worst. I have a comedian friend who says, he's like, I don't want kids. And whenever I tell people I don't want kids, they say, that's so selfish of you. Doesn't it bother you to be so selfish? And he goes, I don't think it's selfish to want no kids. I think it would be selfish if I wanted all the kids. All right. So here's what I think about the physical stuff. I have, in fact, myself healed various physical problems I have had through energy work, divine light energy work. I have also healed other people's physical problems through energy work. And there are certain things that I've seen that need allopathic Western medical knives and anesthesia. And you got to do that. Like if someone came to me with a broken bone snapped in half, I'd be like, go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's where you're exactly describing that sort of fine line.
Yeah.
Like I get that we hold things in our bodies in certain ways that make us sick or nauseous or even cancer.
Yeah.
Like I get that. That tracks for me. It doesn't even feel that esoteric. But when it comes to sprained ankle, torn rotator cuff.
But think of it this way. Here's the second part of that sentence I was going to say, which is that the way the injury occurred and why the injury occurred is connected to something emotional, psychological, and or spiritual.
Gotcha.
How you heal it might require you to see a foot doctor, but it's like, what did the act of the injury mean? And what is the injury showing you? As opposed to but that doesn't necessarily mean that the way you're going to heal it is going to be through divine light transmission.
Right. Or a combination of possibly is what I would think.
Totes.
Yeah, I definitely want to get, I want to shine, I'll be honest, I would love to have some divine light shown on this injury to assist.
Yeah.
In the fucking healing that is now in process. And that is so fucking, I'm so happy about that.
I'm really happy for you. I'm sorry I didn't know it was actually hurting you more, that you didn't, I'm sorry you were lame and didn't tell me.
I just didn't tell you. It was just like, also, I was in denial. I was like,
yeah,
I was auditioning for things and not really going, those two things don't go together, by the way. You can't do a show right now.
Right.
You shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, on this point, I'll share an interesting thing that's currently happening. I have a client who has an esophagus problem, an esophageal problem in the lower part of the esophagus, where her doctor was like, oh, you have this thing that's called blah, 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 medical term. And we have to get in there and do surgery and open it. It's like her.
Still laughing. That's good improv right there.
Do you like the...
It's called blah, 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 medical term.
Do you like the rampant dismissal of allopathic medicine that's inherent in that
Whatever,
as well?
Whatever, blah, 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 something wrong.
So the doctors are like, we're going to cut you open and we have to... She has an esophageal, like a sphincter that stays closed and won't open so the food can't... Yeah.
Heard about these.
So they need to like spread the thing open and make it stay open, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, every time I go in there with her and I look at it through my wacky lens, what I get is, this is just very interesting. We are actually healing some womb trauma she has to the feminine element of herself. Like, she needs womb healing and we're doing it. And over time, the more her womb heals, the more functional that esophageal sphincter is going to be. Now, I didn't know it was bad enough to have a name, like it's called jingity jangity, you know, whatever.
Right. Wait. I can almost tell you. Does it have the word hernia in it?
No, I don't think.
Okay.
If you said it, though, I'd remember. It was called something.
Yeah.
Foobity bow.
I'm sure it was called something. Bloody blah.
Bibbity bobbity bips. Fuckity fuck whatevers. No. So anyway, point is, she asked me yesterday, like, do I need to see this doctor? And I got a big yes. And then it was like, but actually it's a different doctor. So then she was realizing she has to find a second person. And it was like a whole thing. But when I asked the question, where is the cause of this in her body? And it was in the womb, which is not the esophagus, if you haven't noticed. And so we're doing all this womb healing, And I could see a future. I often see this when I'm doing healing work, where they sort of show me how it's going to be when it's done. And I could see a future where the esophageal sphincter is working well, but it's still like a little limpy, like a little weak. Like, it's never going to be 100% for her, but it's going to work well again. And so if we were, in her case, to just do the womb healing, forever and ever and ever, yes, we would get to a place where that sphincter worked as a secondary byproduct of healing this womb thing. Now, does she want to wait 6 months of once a week energy healing to get her esophageal whatever working? No, she wants to have surgery and get it working now. So there you have it. She can do that. Now, here's where it gets tricky. I believe, you know, when you need surgery, get your fucking surgery. Get it. Get that surgery. If you need surgery, get surgery, period. And whatever caused the thing that's making you need surgery, that thing still probably needs treatment spiritually, emotionally, energetically. So she would still need womb healing after that surgery, but now she's going to need womb healing and a spiritual healing on the part of her body that got sliced open by a knife.
Yeah.
Because you'd be surprised how many people come to me for energy healing.
That's some intense trauma too.
And what we're healing is the trauma of a surgery or the trauma of the medication from a surgery. Medication does crazy shit to people's bodies and stays in the body.
When I have a question about, and it may not be as relevant because you're not necessarily doing individual records anymore, but.
Well, I am though.
Would it be appropriate to, appropriate is the wrong word, whatever. Would you open the record of a shoulder? As opposed to open Cassidy's records and talk to Cassidy's records.
No, here's why. Because the shoulder is part of a totality.
Right.
In other words, the shoulder in and of itself might not give us all the answers, but because it might be connected to your heart or your knees or your mom.
Well, I was actually kind of making a shoulder be like an address in my mind.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's just that because you're at the address of your shoulder is part of the address of your self and body.
Right.
We can't separate them. Like, in other words, if you were looking at, like, what's the problem with this wall in this building? You wouldn't open the records of the wall. You'd open the records of the building. Unless the wall was built at a different time than the building.
Ah.
In which case.
Well, because I was thinking like a city, you know, you might open the records of a town, but you would also open the records of a building in a town.
Yes.
So like that's a part and a whole.
Except not in the same way that a body part is a part of a body.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm beating the metaphor to death.
Uh-huh.
So it's not very, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Good times.
That was just
fantastic.
Wondering.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, I think we should do it. We should jump in and do some. We can. Did have you? You want to talk about your ankle too? Just while we're at it.
In terms of.
You want to ask consciousness about your ankle? You probably have already.
Oh yeah.
But
I mean, I know what this is about, but I bet you there's more info.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be good. I like that a lot. Oh God. Okay. Here we go.
Some days.
You know what? I have to urinate. Can you give me two?
You wouldn't be Katie if you didn't.
Fair enough.
Have fun.
Be right back.
Bye.
I'm actually curious about, have you been doing feet first and or speechless gigs? I know you've been doing feet first because you went to LA.
Yeah. I just did a live event yesterday in a park.
Oh, live events.
Yeah. What? I mean, the live event, the LA was a live event too. So,
I mean, people's kids are going back to school with like no masks and like restaurants here. I went to a lounge the other day and just like went to it.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not excited to do any indoor events, but I'm fine with outdoor events right now. That feels fine.
Hmm.
I'm also at the point where I'm like triple vaxxed and feeling like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll just get it at some point. So I might as well get it out of the way.
Right. Like, how bad can it be at this point with all the vaxxes?
Right.
I meanwhile, I don't even want to say it out loud. I didn't get boosted.
Oh, I know you were trying to get with the person, but you didn't finish it.
Well, so I have another appointment. I was supposed to start taking Claritin yesterday for 10 days straight.
Wow.
Before my booster, to be ready for the booster. But I think I'm just not going to get them in because I can't stand it.
I know. It's my
ASMR.
ASMR. ASMR vaccine debate. I would prefer that you get it, but I understand the struggle that you're going through. It seems fucking hard. Really fucks you. I'm good. Yeah. I'm going to occasionally watch it.
I can't hear you. Do you ever watch them?
Not really. I haven't watched many ASMR videos. I've seen a little bit.
Okay.
Teeny bits.
TikTok has like a huge ASMR thing.
Yeah, I don't really watch TikTok directly. I only watch things that get reposted from TikTok. So.
Okay. If you ever get into TikTok, if you want 75,000 followers, just start an ASMR channel with a weird big penis microphone like everybody on there has. I'm telling you. 56,000, 63,000, huge followings for these kids who are just, they're just getting on there and like stroking a feather on the fucking microphone. And that's, and they do an hour and they do like feather and then they do slime and then they do foam and do all this shit to the microphone. They tap it with their nails. It's really a thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I was so curious about it. I was like, how is this such a huge thing that I like started listening. I was like, well, let's see what the big deal is. Closed my eyes, like got into it. And I was like, this is amazing. I got into it.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was into ASMR.
Yeah. I mean, I got a little bit into it when I was spending time with Sarah because Sarah was really into ASMR.
Oh.
More theoretically, I don't think either one of us were like affected by it directly, but like conceptually very into it.
God, if you get into it. Actually, I was not at all someone who thought I would be into it. Really relaxing, really good.
Yeah.
I think I had just had so many judgments of it that I just couldn't receive what it was giving. And then I just decided to drop them and I just went into like, what is this? And then I went, oh, it's really good. It's wild. Okay. Akashic Records. Here we go. So we'll close our eyes.
Have you done any porn ASMR, Katie?
No, what is that?
Like, because you can, if you go on like any porn searches, you can also search ASMR in like Pornhub and stuff. And then the ASMR will be based on like more like stuff. Just close-ups that are sexual in nature.
Oh, really?
Audio close-ups, as it were.
But is it also visual?
Some of them, yeah. Not that I've searched a bunch. I have looked though.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
No shame in that game.
Because it's interesting. I'm like, what is going on here? Oh, that's actually pretty fucking hot.
I'm actually super curious. Is it just the noises or is it somebody going like, I'm going to fuck you so hard. I'm going to bet.
It's a little of that, but it's also sometimes like, you know, putting the microphone while touching parts and then like.
No. See, no. No. I say no to this. That part I say no.
And then sometimes there's a camera because so then it's also a visual close-up of the same audio close-up.
Sort of like it's interesting that there's an uptick in people with misophonia.
Mm-hmm.
And love of ASMR, because misophonia is where you hate mouth like sounds.
The opposite of misophonia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the opposite of ASMR. Misophonia is just any sound, isn't it? It's not just mouth sounds.
No, it's mouth sounds. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I might be wrong.
Let's look it up.
I think that's
later.
That's how, you know what? That's how Dax Shepard defines it. Therefore.
Right. Because he hates mouth sounds.
No, he doesn't. But he's aware on, they always joke about how they're very aware of not making any mouth sounds in their podcast because they're worried about, because they had some people message them and be like, my misophonia is going crazy when I listen to you.
No, misophonia is a disorder in which certain sounds trigger emotional or physiological responses that some might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstances.
So I think a lot of people have misophonia about mouth sounds.
Right.
Okay.
And the word moist, which is the most cliche thing to for people to hate.
Except it's
at this point. I'm bored by that reaction when people go, oh, I hate the word moist. I'm like, really?
I know, it's boring. I know.
Come on. Find a better word to hate.
It's true. It's true. It's true. You know what I mean? Cliches are cliche because they're true.
Yeah, I guess so. Mine is webinar. I hate the word webinar. And I think that's really? So much more interesting to hate than moist. Well, I'm superior for my dislikes.
Well, it's definitely more interesting because I've never heard anyone say it.
I hate it.
Webinar. Well, you know, another one that people hate is panties.
Yeah, but that's more, I think, because it evokes a certain image as well. It's that one feels relational to me, but so does moist.
I don't know. Here we go. Let's close our eyes.
Okay. Our moist eyes are going to
moisten our eyes.
And your dog has eaten the panties. And we are okay with that.
I'm going to stuff panties. And we are on
sort of a webinar right now.
We're on a webinar stuffing panties into our mouths, closing our moist eyes. And we're going to whisper the rest of it like that. Stop. Oh my God. Okay. So take a few deep breaths to the low belly. Oh my God. Yeah. And just to ground, we'll feel our feet flat on the ground, breathing into the pelvic floor. Seeing a little spinning foot chakra open at the bottom center of each of our feet, like a little tornado of light. Spinning wider and wider, more and more open, until the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot is like an open window of light, which allows the electromagnetic field of the body to communicate directly with the electromagnetic field of the earth below our feet. And this grounds the body-mind organism a little bit more into the earth. And we'll watch as 500 tree roots of light anchor into the earth herself through the open window of each foot. 1,000 roots, 500 through each foot, 500 through the left and 500 through the right, sending 1,000 roots of light into the deeper layers of the planet. I mean, and we'll see a nice wide grounding cord anchor from the base of the spine to the center of the earth. We'll watch a river of light flow up through that grounding cord into the root chakra and flood down through both legs, quads and glutes and hamstrings, knees and calves and shins and ankles and feet, and rushing down into the roots we established moments ago, activating, awakening, aligning the legs, the grounding cord, and the roots until we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. And direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know consciousness in the light of the Akashic records. Help me to see consciousness through the eyes of the lords of the records. And enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of consciousness have for consciousness. Okay. And as I'm deepening into the Akashic Records of consciousness, I just ask that you anchor me into that alignment with the records and the record keepers of consciousness itself. Okay. And I'm going to see here. Look, ask the record keepers to clear, uncreate, destroy, release, eliminate, eradicate, dissipate anything and everything in my being, in my consciousness, in my field that would stand in the way of me receiving direct information from the divine and from consciousness itself through the portal of the Akashic Records. I'm in. Okay, there we are. And it's funny because when I've opened the records of individuals in the past or myself or whatever, they show me the infinity symbol right away. And it's funny because now they show it to me really huge, like a cartoon huge version of it. Big, huge infinity symbol. And what I get is that the infinity symbol they're showing me now is the... So, okay, we've talked before about how I, Katie Rubin, channel through the back of my neck through this infinity symbol shape, almost like it's a doorway between this reality and the deeper, broader, lighter frequencies of light. So that the infinity symbol is the crossover between the two dimensions, right? Or the different realms of consciousness. Now they're showing me this big one because this is the crossover from body, mind, feelings to spirit to consciousness. So there's a big, huge crossover between all the realms. So it's just kind of funny to see that each time. Okay, so we're wondering, how do you want to frame, what do you want to look at, Cass? How do you want to frame that question or...
I mean, I have a few questions. One is just to kind of, I would love to just sort of ask what it looks like in there, in my shoulder. Is there any value in just sort of looking at what's going on in there?
Okay. So when I'm asking, I go, is it torn? And I get actually a no. And then I go, is it stretched? And I get a yes.
Yeah, he had never actually used the word torn. He just said, yeah. It's your rotator.
Yeah, cuff. So it's stretched out the way, like, you know, when you stretch a rubber band too far and it doesn't break, but it gets that weird part of the rubber band that's different from the other parts?
Yeah.
It's like that.
It's like it's lost its elasticity.
Uh-huh. So that's what it looks like.
Cool.
What else do you want to know?
That was easy. Uh-huh. All right, I'm done. Is there a lesson, tale, cause?
Oh, okay.
Around.
What was it about?
Yeah, what was it about?
What are you to get from it? Yeah.
Yeah, and was there an injury moment or was it something that just developed?
Okay. So, okay, was there no, it was developed over time. And the nature of the injury will always tell you something about what the injury is about. So there's metaphor and simile and direct teaching in the nature of how an injury occurs. So little by little, as you go to sleep, as you're asleep around something, little by little, it chips away at you until there's no more being asleep. It's going to poke and poke and poke until it breaks through, whatever the it is. So this is just a case of you not really wanting to be awake entirely to certain awarenesses. Okay. So I'm sitting with now, like, well, what are those awarenesses it wants you to be awake about? Let me see. Oof. Okay, so this is about an over-reliance on the mechanical, the machinations of the masculine element, which is to say the sort of just do it energy. This is an over-reliance on just do it. Just go ahead and do it. Just don't think about it. Don't feel into it. Don't get in touch with your low belly about it. Just do it. And there's a way this has been kind of you've been like, they say, like an army tank, just forwarding through your life. You just fucking shut up, suck it up and forward, march forward. which is part of the patriarchal teaching of how you do life in this reality. Now, of course, that is not the most high form of how to function in an integrated way for a human body, mind, organism. You want to integrate the two polarities of masculine and the feminine elements into a unified field, whereby eventually what happens with a human being as it evolves is the masculine and feminine spin and spin and spin until they become a kind of duality-less, genderless, spacious light or field of consciousness. Okay, so it used to be that for the human being, the goal was to balance the masculine and feminine and keep those two polarities, and they were balanced. But now the form is ready to spin those two polarities into just becoming spacious awareness. So there aren't even polarities remaining. Okay, that's one thing to realize. But in this case, what we're looking at is an over-reliance on, this was the universe saying, okay, we're going to shut down this, the right side of the body, the doing side, the active side, the masculine side, bit by bit by bit, as he bit by bit by bit refuses to tap into the emotional body and refuses to feel and check in on each choice, checking in, checking in, checking in, down low in the body. So it's an encouragement for you to lean into the feminine, the emotional, the receptive, in terms of your decisions about your day to day, which of course you've done a great job of doing during over the course of COVID and the pandemic, as we are aware. But this injury is almost like you could say a repetitive motion injury, but it's the unconscious repetitive motion of over-reliance on the masculine just do it-ness. Does this make sense?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Questions? When you say you think so, what's the part that maybe you're not so sure about?
I mean, I don't have like a one-to-one, oh, that means this. I'm taking it in as in, so yeah, it makes sense. I'm not sure if I'm, it's not landing like, oh, that's exactly what my heart is true. That is true. It's more like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, questions wise, like.
Like, what would you need for it to land in your heart? Like, that's the whole truth.
I would need to, I mean, for me, it's always like when I can feel it as a, either as a like, oh, that is this thing that I, you know, like a direct example of that being true or something. I have sort of a vague sense of like, yeah, I mean, that's been the ongoing journey of me, of course. So this is just another example of that.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
And I'm just asking, is there anything else? No. Is it about anything else? No.
No, that makes sense. No, and you're right. It is the right side. So it's the right shoulder that has been pressing on.
So you want it to be more interesting or more something new?
No, I don't want anything than what it actually is. That's I'm very satisfied by that answer. I don't mean that. I just mean like, I didn't have a moment of like, oh, right, it's that, oh God.
Because you probably already knew this one.
Yeah, it's not new information. It's more like,
yeah,
you keep it doing. So I guess my next question would be like, to heal this, the local part of this injury, the systemic part is bigger, you know, the systemic part of this injury is the continuing to heal the over-reliance on the masculine. But is there a more localized anything for me to be focusing on in healing this?
Let me sit with it. So you're in physical therapy, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's helping. Is there something else he can be doing to heal it? Is there something else he should be doing to heal it? Okay, this is very specific and random and interesting. Cooling elements like eucalyptus, And you know those, I don't even know what these are called, but those creams you can rub on your skin that make everything really cool?
Yeah, like Icy Hot type stuff.
Yes, Icy Hot would help. But not actual ice.
Uh-huh. Cooling elements.
So eucalyptus and Icy Hot, or some version of Icy Hot. You know, this is cool because they go, this speaks to a much deeper thing than humans like to talk about or hear or know. The actual truth is, with all healing and injury and physical or otherwise, is if you were to grieve everything painful from the past, aka feel sad instead of going to your defenses ever, if that were to happen for humans, and in your case, if that were to happen, if you were to grieve everything you needed to grieve that's ever happened in your life, if you were to take that time and do that or whatever it takes to get to that, this thing would fully heal 100%. Now, why is that? It's because every problem for the human being comes back to an unwillingness to grieve the sorrow and the loss underneath whatever defense is up. So if you're angry, there's grief under it. If you're anxious, there's grief under it. If you're lonely, there's grief under it. There's always sadness, grief, loss, betrayal, loss underneath anything else. And when you finally get to the core age of the individual part of yourself who suffered the loss that then led to the need to over-rely on the masculine in this case, for example, right? If you got to the core losses and grieved them all, your shoulder would miraculously be completely healed, 100% as if it were never injured. But that is something, and this is, we like this conversation for the sake of it being a microcosm of the macrocosm of all of humanity. That's where you would see magic occurring. The problem is, or we should say, no, the point is to teach humanity how to be with its feelings, period. This is the unique thing about the human embodiment experience and experiment, is that is the integration between spirit and nervous system, spirit and body, three-dimensional organic form. The doorway betwixt them is feelings, emotions. So if human beings could master their emotional process, every single problem on this planet would resolve itself. Boom. That's it. And your collective will awaken when they master that. Period. And they're showing me like the whole Ukraine thing and Putin and war and, you know, one of the gifts of this time period to humanity, if it can understand it as such, is the gift of technology and what technology is giving humanity in terms of what you are able to watch and hear and know as it's occurring. In other words, you get real-time reports from people fighting this war. You get real-time reports from famous stars on Dancing with the Stars who go back to Ukraine and get stuck there and then have to leave on a train and go to Poland. And they're real-time TikToking or posting wherever about what's real-time happening. And you get real-time sense of the emotional truth of the Ukrainians who are saying, we're not going with this. We're not doing what has always happened in the past with Russia. We're not going to just lay down. We don't care what it leads to. No, give me liberty or give me death is what they're saying. And even the Russians, a large part of the Russian population is going, this is not okay with us. They are being with their emotional truth. And you get to see the emotional truth through the portal of technology. So you have hope. We have hope for the human race, because if you use your technology as it can be used to see emotional truths across the world, that is the point of having a global economy and a global community, is to understand, holy shit, they're not like some backwards other world country so far away and we don't understand them and it's abstract and it's a war far, far away. No, these are people we know and love just like us with five fingers on each hand. feeling feelings that we would feel if there were bombs going off next to us. And that is the value of being in touch with the emotional body. But the human being has developed so many defenses to survive this reality for understandable reasons, that they don't understand that the whole thing is solved by coming back behind those defenses. Make sense? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Thoughts, feelings, reactions, questions? It's very clarifying for me. It feels very clear. I hear this and I feel this in my body and I go, fuck, that's so simple. It's so simple. And I go, man, it is the last thing human beings want to do. Take time to grieve the pain of the past. We're busy conquering lands and fighting each other and dominating and money and bombs and gas and whatever the fuck we're doing. All right. Do you have other questions or shall I ask some?
No, go ahead. I'm just sitting with it.
Okay. Okay. I actually want to know, this is very unrelated. I would like to ask, I feel like Squeezle is always upset with me. She looks at me like, ugh, you again. And she used to sit in my lap more, and now she's like sitting on her heating pad all the time. She looks at me like, this is so boring. I hate everything. And yet, when there's a threat, she comes running to me like a big dog. She's like, mom, help me. Or when I go away and come home, she's happy to see me. But I just live with this constant feeling of she's like really unhappy. Can you help me understand? Is she really unhappy? No. And they're like, you ask all the time and we tell you all the time. No, she's not unhappy. And I'm like, okay, but why does she look so fucking unhappy? And they're like, she doesn't. You're projecting that on her. She's a dog. And I'm like, but... Okay, so are people then just projecting on their dogs all the time? And they're like, of course they are. Okay, but then hold on. Why is it then, like when certain friends of mine come over, she's all tail waggy and hip waggy and happy to see them and sits with them. And when I call her over, she looks at me like, I don't want to come over to you. What is that about? Okay, it's not that she doesn't want to come over to you. It's the same thing as, it's like when you ride in the car and ride in the car and ride in the car and you get to the truck stop, you want to get out of the car to move your body. It's like that for her. She's with you and with you and with you all the time. And it's not that she dislikes you. It's just when you have one thing all the time, you want other things. So other people come into her field and she's very sensitive, aware, tapped in. She is an angel in a dog body. And as such, when other forms, other auric fields come into her awareness, she gets excited by the newness of it and the funness of it. But you'll never not be her main attachment. So when her face looks to me like she's miserable, and they go, yes, what is she feeling actually? And they're like, peace, quiet, attentiveness, sometimes a wariness. Wariness of what? She's wary of... Okay. Wow. You two are a soul pairing, animal-human soul pairing, in the sense that she is a healer, and she's part of your healing journey, and she's part of what you bring to other people as a healer. So... In the same way that you go like, oh, get in the records again. She sees you sometime and goes, oh, we're going to go deep and feel all the feelings. Okay, here we go. It's not skipping through the park all the time. It's kind of work. It's work she signed up to do. It's work she likes doing. It's work she's good at doing, but it's work. So sometimes she sits on the bed because the heating pad is warm, just like your lap is, but it's not work. And then I go, well, that makes me feel bad that I'm making the dog work all the time. And they're like, no, you're not making the dog work. The dog is here to do certain work. And all beings with a nervous system only want to do so much work. So you have to goad them. You have to give her treats and get her moving and get her to talk to her dog friends like you already do and bring other people over. It's all going quite well. And then I'm like, well, so she seems a little chubbier too lately. Like, is she unhealthfully overweight? No. No? No. She's grown into her adult dog body, and she's got winter weight to protect her from the cold, and she's just fine. Oh, so unsatisfying. I want them to be like, it's here's the problem, and so I could go solve the problem.
Because what they're actually saying is there's no problem.
There's no fucking problem.
So there's nothing to fix.
No.
You don't need to fix anything.
Nah.
Except your own perceptions of what's going
Correct.
On.
Correct. And, you know, then they go, yeah. So that's the thing you have to look at. Like, where did you start believing that everybody outside of you is upset with you all the time? And I go, well, duh. Childhood, mom, dad, hello. And they're like, yeah. So this is an opportunity to look at that and drop into yourself the way you know how to. Find the place inside that says, everyone around me is unhappy with me. I'm always doing it wrong. I have to do something better to earn their love. And be with that place and love her and nurture her. Talk to her and tell her, like, you're already loved. You're doing a lot to love this little dog. A lot. Okay. Meh. Okay.
She wants to eat your panties. She clearly is into you in some ways.
So she's sexually aroused by me is what you're saying. But not.
I don't know. I mean,
into me as a person. Pheromones, fair enough. I think I want to ask one more thing, which is, can I know anything about, it's like, nope, already. God damn it.
Well, for the listener, what was that question going to be? Can I know anything about?
I'm always trying to find timelines about, like, romantic partner.
Oh, no, like, not right now.
Big fat no. Okay, can I ask questions about the business? Yes. All right. So is it part of the sort of holistic destiny path of Katie Rubin for these products to sell that I've been? Yeah. So are these products gonna work? I'm starting to sell products through my site, but like on Instagram and stuff. And it's like a healing. You get a healing. You get a link to a healing. And they're like, we wanted it to be through the records of consciousness. Oh, that's good to know. And then you get this really beautiful, like, handcrafted tea that I yell at my buddy, like, who's an herbalist, made. And she made a roll-on and a Palo Santo stick. And you get this whole package to do your healing with. And it gets mailed to you. And I'm really excited about it. So I have, like, people helping me market this. But I'm like, is this part of the plan, the dharmic work of me? Yes. Okay. Will it work financially? Yes. Okay, how about the staging business? Big fat yes, and that's for you to have fun with and enjoy. I have a staging business.
You're gonna start staging houses for sale?
Yeah.
All right.
I have the website, we have the postcards, we have the business cards. We're like finishing the website today.
Damn, it's a whole new thing.
I know, it's like a side project I've been like building behind the scenes. It's called signaturestagingbeacon.com. And very, very excited to see how that plays out. Yeah, I think that's good for now. That's what I've been wondering about.
That's good. Yeah, we're at about time, so it's good.
Is there anything we need to ask about, like, for the world or for, like, the listeners or for... I wish we had a caller today. I want someone to ask something.
Yeah, we'll do it next time. It's fine.
All right, we haven't put the call out for callers lately.
Well, you know what? The callers come through the... Patreon, which we'd love it if more people joined.
Yeah.
I think we have like 4 or 5 people on there now. And
we do.
But we should actually get questions from our most recent people because we haven't gotten those yet.
Who? What do you mean?
I don't know. We did our first three. We did questions from our first three people.
Oh. So our most recent people. That's a good call.
Yeah, we need to reach out to them.
All right. I'm going to make a note.
But also Patreon people, get on there. People who are listening to us right now, go to Patreon and look at all the answers. And that's a way you can support this podcast. Because I know you're listening to us. We crossed 1,000 downloads.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Huge monthly breakthrough. Right? Yeah. In 1 month, we had over 1,000 downloads. That is a huge thing to get over. Do you need to close the records while we're doing this wrap up?
I'm okay.
Good. You're just in consciousness. We'll you're close in consciousness it in a anyway.
Minute. Yeah.
So we're at 1,000 downloads, which is exciting. I'm not sure totally what that means, but I just do know that it's a benchmark. Desmond was excited. Yeah.
I guess it's easier to get like people marketing ads or something if people like. So. I mean, yeah.
Come on, sponsors. Don't you want? I know that you know. I mean, we're doing sponsorship for Katie's businesses, but let's we need some from the outside.
Yeah. Also, as we speak, I have a person who is, we're doing another round of, this time I think it's 5,000 postcards I'm leaving all over Manhattan for our podcast.
Okay.
It's the black ones that say best podcast ever. And then on the back, it's just a code, QR code.
Right.
And it says like spiritual stuff, like funny stuff. And that's it.
But they're not putting,
nope.
If they can't read a QR code.
No
information. So it's only for people who know how to do QR codes.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is all the youth of America.
Sure.
Which is billions of people.
Right.
So I think we're fine.
Okay.
And next time there will be a name on it. But I had 5,000 left. So fuck it.
We're putting it out there. That's from the previous printing. You're just getting them put out.
Yeah. I mean, we did a 5,000 and now we're doing another 5,000 because they were sitting in my car.
Gotcha. Love it.
So please, listeners, tell your friends, get them to listen to us, get them to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts,
and also on
join our Patreon.
I think you can also review us on other places, but not all of them. Wherever you can review us, do review us.
I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. I ask you to return consciousness to itself and return all of us listening and here to our complete human wholeness. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of consciousness are closed. Amen, amen, amen. Misophonia. ASMR. Do your work.
It's a really connected prayer, final prayer. That's all that counts.
Love you.
Do your work. Do your work.
Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you.
I hate it. I'm going.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.